All right, folks, we are a little bit over 2 weeks away until we see the great American eclipse. On today's program, on the first half of our program, I'm going to show you why this is not just some ordinary solar eclipse and why there is such significance of the timing of this eclipse. And then secondly, I'm going to show you that now they are prepared for the sacrifice of the red heifers for the third temple in Jerusalem. Let's get after it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, we want to welcome everybody to the program, guys. Good evening. It is Friday, March the 22nd. I want to welcome everybody to the program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And first of all, I want to welcome everybody that's listening by Apple, by Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We want to officially welcome you. You guys that are watching visually by Rumble, by YouTube, or however you may be watching this program, we want to welcome you to the program. Listen, if you're new, someone invited you tonight, or for the first time joining us, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Want to get a couple things right out of the way before we get started tonight. First of all, if you've not yet smashed that like button and that bell notification, please do that. Whatever on Rumble, YouTube, or whatever platform you may be watching from, help us get this material out there and get our program seen on these algorithms. So again, hit that like button, hit that bell notification, and that share button. Also, we want to inform you that we do have a free app. It is absolutely free to you. All you got to do is go to your Play Store. Again, depending on your device, Apple, Android, go there. Download our free app. Once you do that, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away, and you're going to get every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. For more information on this, you guys that are watching a visual of this, if you'll go to the description of this video, under the description of this video, there's a link that says download our free app. If you just click on that link, it's going to bring you right to where you need to go. And then you can, it'll walk you through the rest of it. If you're listening by podcast, just simply go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademark ETH logo, download our app again, and hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. All right. By now, most of you guys know that we are merely just a short little bit past the window of 2 week mark. Until April 8th. On April 8th, we are going to witness a celestial event that is a once-in-a-lifetime event. That we're talking about the Great American Eclipse. Now, all of our listeners outside of America, this doesn't really impact you, but you guys that are in America, you are very aware of this, and you know by now that there's coming a solar eclipse that is not just some ordinary eclipse. Now, I want to touch on all these things. Before we do that, I want to give you an opening passage of Scripture. Now, again, if you have your Bible, I would like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to be reading this from the New King James. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Christ, testing him, asking that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered unto them and said, "When it is evening, you will say, 'Look, it will be fair weather,' or 'The sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.'" So in other words, he's telling them, you are able to look at the natural sky, the clouds, the wind patterns. You're able to look at this and you can determine whether it's going to be fair weather, whether it's going to be threatening weather, whether it's going to be storms, whatever the case would be. So he's talking about in the natural. But watch what he says. He then calls them hypocrites and says, "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot," listen to this, "discern the times," or the, he should say, or excuse me, let me correct that, "or, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Let me say it one more time. You know how to discern the sky and the natural, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. That is going to be our foundational scripture tonight. And here's why. Because when I get into stuff like this that we're going to talk about tonight, I see the comments. We get the emails. We get messages of people saying, people trying to come against us. And their argument is these things don't mean anything. They're meaningless. We've had them for history. History has always had these types of events. We've had them since the beginning of civilization, and nothing ever happens. I hear that all the time, but that's simply not true. First of all, again, even Jesus, and they'll say this, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about this. Well, that's not true either. In Luke 21, Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. He clearly says that. Then he goes on and he says there'll be great and fearful signs and sights from heaven. Then you go over to the book of Genesis chapter 1, and he tells you, the Lord tells you right there in the scripture, then Genesis 1:14, that God tells us these lights are put in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and that they're there for signs and seasons. You've heard me talk about this. The word sign is in Hebrew is a signal, a flag, a monument, a prodigy, or an omen. And the word seasons there is festivals or appointed times. So guys, again, these comets, these eclipses, these celestial events, these alignments of planets, these are not just happenstance. These are literally for appointed times, seasons, and they are signs to those, watch this, who have discernment of the signs of the times. The problem is, guys, listen, we can get mad about individuals who choose not to see it, choose not to believe it, and choose to ignore it. But you know who I blame? I blame what's behind their pulpits of their churches, because their churches are not being taught this. Their pastors are not being taught. They're not teaching this, and probably they've never been taught this. But the historians understand this. The ancients know this. The rabbis understand this. And I'm telling you, those in the time of Jesus understood these things. We've went in extensive detail about this in other podcasts. The wise men, those individuals that showed up at the birth of Christ, they followed a celestial sign from heaven. When they saw that sign from heaven, they understood that it was a sign that the Messiah was to be born. When Jesus was crucified at Calvary, your Bible says that great darkness fell upon the land. Historians say that when Christ died, it was during a solar eclipse. So here we have this solar eclipse that is deemed the great American eclipse. Again, the trajectory of this will, and I don't want to rehash all of this again, guys, but it will form an X over America. Again, the significance of the location of that, you can go look this up, research it, listen to other podcasts that we've done in our archives. We talked about the New Madrid. It's going right over the New Madrid fault line. It's going over a place called Little Egypt. The trajectory crosses seven places across America where there's cities, seven cities called Nineveh, okay? And then, but I'm seeing now other stuff that's coming out about this solar eclipse that I think is extraordinary. In my 47 years of living, I remember there was a really big solar eclipse back in the 80s. I remember I was in probably elementary school, maybe middle school. I can't remember, may even been in high school. I can't remember. It was so long ago that I remember we went out of the classroom. And I remember the sky got really eerily dark, and they made us these little things, these little boxes that you can look through and you can watch the solar eclipse. And it wasn't very long, but I remember seeing this. Okay. But here's what I don't remember though. I do not remember the amount of hype. Now I'm not talking about from Christians and circles of believers who are warning about this and understand these things. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about in the natural. There is a lot of hype around this. For example, did you know that they have deployed the National Guard? They are deploying the National Guard for this solar eclipse.
Eclipse, and now the National Guard is being called in to help with all the extra tourists. McCurtain County requested the help as thousands of people are expected to flood into southeastern Oklahoma to see that eclipse. Officials in McCurtain County, with a population of 30,000, expect upwards of 100,000 people to visit, which could put an obvious strain on resources.
The unknowns, not knowing how many people are coming, we could exhaust our resources really quick.
We are counting down to the total eclipse, now less than a month away. Kendall County, the latest to issue a disaster declaration ahead of next month's total eclipse. At least three other counties in central Texas, along with the Hill Country, that are in the path of totality have already issued disaster declarations. They include Bell County, Travis County, and Kirk County. While we are familiar with what a disaster declaration means for wildfires or maybe even severe weather, what do they mean when it comes to an eclipse? East 4 San Antonio Stephanie Esquivel is getting answers tonight from local officials.
Issuing a disaster declaration ahead of next month's eclipse is a proactive measure Kendall County officials are taking to ensure enough resources are available in case of an emergency.
We're not going to be able to rely on our regular mutual aid partners because they're coming from counties that are experiencing the same issues we are. So it just gives us a little bit better avenue to reach out for the state for additional resources or supplies or things like that should we need them.
Emergency Management Coordinator for Kendall County, Jeff Fink, says he wants to be prepared for any emergency that could arise.
They're projecting hundreds of thousands of people possibly coming to the Hill Country, and not experiencing this in the past. We really don't have an idea.
Kirk County has also made a disaster declaration, and with the masses expected for April's total eclipse, Emergency Management Coordinator for Kirk County, William Thomas, says the county is also preparing for a shortage of necessities.
We've ordered some fuel, both diesel and gasoline, mobile fueling stations, basically, to in the event that I-10 becomes blocked and people start running out of fuel.
Specifically, Kirk County is asking for additional medical supplies, fuel, and water, just in case they are needed. Both Kendall and Kirk counties have spent years preparing for the eclipse and the massive people it's expected to bring.
According to Newsweek, Oklahoma's National Guard is set to be deployed for the upcoming eclipse, when as many as 100,000 people are expected to visit one county in Oklahoma. In a statement this past week, the Guard said it would assist emergency management to cope with an unprecedented number of tourists. The Guard will provide first responders as well as units with hazmat response capabilities in case of an incident like an industrial fire. That's weird. Let me read that again. The National Guard will provide first responders as well as units with hazmat response capabilities in the event of an incident like an industrial fire. Why? It's a solar eclipse. Interesting. Let's read on. Lieutenant Colonel Jabin Flurry, commander of the 63rd Civil Support Team, said, quote, "This influx of visitors has the potential to overtax local resources, and thanks to the training and experience our guardsmen have working alongside local agencies all across Oklahoma, the CST is uniquely qualified to support our fellow Oklahomans." Apparently, McCurtain County contains the city of Idabel, I believe that's how you pronounce that, which NASA has predicted will be among 13 hotspots in the country where you can see the totality of this eclipse. They go on to say that there's going to be such an influx of crowds in the nation and these areas that, quote, "officials are already voicing concern about stretched public safety resources while some schools plan to completely close for the day." I'm going to read the rest of this. At least four states on the eclipse's trajectory. Now look at this. Have urged residents to stock up on groceries and gas ahead of its occurrence. As traffic is expected to overwhelm local roads, the Federal Highway Administration has also warned that the increased traffic to remote areas could lead to unsafely parked vehicles and the potential for wildfires in an area with dry vegetation. They go on to say that there is concerns about a, quote, "buildup of traffic on the county's two-lane roads, and first responders were preparing for potential search and rescue operations." So I want to recap this again. So according to this report, this is very interesting. The National Guard's being deployed with hazmat response capabilities in the event of an incident like a, and I quote, an industrial fire. They're also urging locals to stock up on groceries and supplies. And now look at this. Here's another report. Now, before I get to it, these all make sense. Okay, I get it. Because of the influx of people, I get that. The traffic jams, the potential there for disasters. I get all that. So it's still alarming, but it makes practical sense. Now, but then you get this kind of a response. Look at this headline. Quote, this is from Unilad. Officials warn of widespread cell phone disruption ahead of the solar eclipse. What? According to the report, officials are warning people that April's solar eclipse could cause widespread disruptions to cell phones. Millions of tourists are expected to flock to certain states along the path of the solar eclipse on April 8th. And NASA has revealed that the solar eclipse will cross North America, passing over Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. Depending on the weather, the first location to experience totality is Mexico's Pacific coast, which will happen around 11:07 a.m. According to the report, with an expected 1 million tourists heading to Texas, 500,000 flocking to Indiana and Ohio, where Richland County is, and around 400,000 visiting New York, it is, and I quote, it is feared that the huge influx of people gathering to watch the eclipse could cause problems with cell connectivity. Oh boy, here we go again, right? Remember, we just came over that when this glitch happened with AT&T. Rebecca Owens, who is the director of the Richland County Emergency Management Authority, told the Richland source that, quote, cell phone reception will be very, very sketchy. She went on to say there will be lots of issues with connectivity and that type of thing. So they're already telling us, friends, that there is going to be reception issues. There's going to be loss of connectivity. There's going to be loss of communication during the eclipse. In the state of Texas, officials there are advising residents to enable Wi-Fi calling just in the event that there's cell phone disruptions there as well. Now, according to NASA, I know people are freaking out because I'm using the terms NASA and referencing NASA, but just hang on with this. They had an official report that said, quote, the sudden changes in ionospheric conditions during an eclipse can lead to the formation of ionospheric anomalies. That's interesting. Ionospheric anomalies, such as ionospheric holes or depletions. And these anomalies can disrupt radio signals and GPS navigation systems. Wow. Affecting both communication and navigation over these affected areas. The altered ionospheric conditions during eclipse can change how radio waves propagate through the ionosphere. This can result in signal fading, absorption, and refraction affecting shortwave and satellite communication systems. Okay, so they're telling you to stock up on food and water and supplies. They're telling us the National Guard has been deployed in the event of emergencies. They're telling us there will be communication disruptions. But that's not all. Even the FAA, guys, look at this. FAA is warning of air travel disruptions in the path of this event. The Federal Aviation Administration warned of disruptions in air travel before, during, and after the total solar eclipse coming April 8th. The unique eclipse will bring a path of totality across 13 U.S. states. Again, when the moon totally blocks the sun, leaving the sun's outermost layer, the corona, visible to the naked eye. The report goes on to say that the FAA has warned pilots to prepare for operational changes and higher than normal traffic volume at airports along the eclipse path. These airports include Burlington International Airport, Syracuse Hancock International Airport, Indianapolis Airport, Fort Wayne, Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, Buffalo Nigeria International Airport, and Austin Bergstrom International Airport. Quote, while there may be disruptions on the ground, Delta offered two flights for travelers to see the eclipse from the sky. The two flights will depart from Dallas-Fort Worth and arrive in Detroit times to give travelers the best chance of safety viewing the solar eclipse. So again, look at this. I've never heard of such a thing for a solar eclipse, ever. Flight disruptions, communication disruptions, the National Guard being deployed, telling us to stock up on food and water. Now, okay, so you've got this eclipse. Now, I know many of you guys are waiting for me to tell you the prophetic significance of this. Now, we've talked about this before, but I understand there's a lot of new people coming in, and we're going to talk about that. We'll go ahead and do that now, and then I'm going to show you that there's other events that are correlating with this event that makes this not just a ordinary solar eclipse. But let me talk about at the beginning of this and the opening of this message, I talked about how the Bible tells us in Luke 21:11, there will be great and fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Matthew says there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Genesis 1:14, these things are put into the heavens as signs and seasons. And I'm here to tell you again, a lot of this over thousands of years, we have westernized Christianity to the point where we have completely removed any kind of teaching like this. That's why when somebody like myself comes along, or you have a watchman that come along, or people that understand the signs of the times and the times and seasons which we're in, and they're able to discern these signs and properly warn the people, many times we're laughed at, we're scorned at, we're made a mockery of, because there's such ignorance in the body of Christ of this. I mean, guys, look at the Western Christianity today. Look at the pillow, fluffy, tickle me Elmo stuff that's being preached behind pulpits that doesn't touch on anything like harbingers, warnings, judgment, nothing like that. It's never at the lips of pastors. It's never talked about by anyone in the house. Even the book of Revelation is so dusty and the pages are all stuck together because they're never preached on. They never open up to the book of Revelation because they think it's irrelevant. They think it's fear-mongering. They don't see any significance in it. So I'm not surprised, guys, of the reaction that we get when we start talking about these things. So here we have these solar eclipses. Well, it is, again, the historians, rabbis understood, they all understood solar eclipses have been noted to appear during, watch this, many times the death of world leaders. Many influential world leaders died during solar eclipses. For example, on May 28th of 585 B.C., The Greek historian Herodotus mentions that in a battle during a five-year war between the Lydians and the Medes, day became night, and there was a transition there during that war. Then in August 2nd, 1133 BC, on August 2nd, 1133 CE, over England, while the totality of an eclipse took place, the moment when the moon completely covered the sun, there was a total solar eclipse that consequently coincided with the death of King Henry I of England. Historian William of Malmesbury was of King Henry. Historian William of Malmesbury was quoted as saying that the hideous darkness agitated the hearts of men. William turned out to be right in a way. Shortly after King Henry's death, the country was thrown into complete chaos and a civil war occurred. Oh, I got to say that again because this is significant when I get in later on. Again, a solar eclipse was seen over England during the death of King Henry I. And according to the historical writings of a historian that was alive during that time, said, quote, shortly after King Henry's death, the country was thrown into chaos and a civil war began. On August 1868, there was a solar eclipse. It was visible over Southeast Asia. This eclipse was known as the King of Siam's eclipse, for it occurred during the death of King Mongit, however you pronounce it, of Rama the Fourth. January 27th, 632 CE. On January 27th, 632 CE, the son of Muhammad, the founder of Islam, died 18 months of age. Many people who saw the eclipse said that this was an absolutely supernatural sign that this occurred. Guys, we could go on. You've got Napoleon. You've got Alexander the Great. You've got during the time of Nineveh, when Jonah showed up to give them the final warning of the Lord to Nineveh that they was going to be judged by God. The historians have pointed out that there was a solar eclipse that transpired during the time frame of a civil war in Nineveh. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about solar eclipses, friends, of this significance that has garnished the attention of the world, that is causing government agencies, local officials, and so forth to react the way they are. Guys, I'm telling you, listen, this is not a sign of the rapture. It's not a sign of 3 days and three nights of darkness. We've already cleared this up in our podcast we did this week. What this is a harbinger to America. This is a sign and a warning to America to repent and turn back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, why do I say that? According to Josephus the historian, in his writings, again, another historian that was alive, 4 years prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Somebody say the temple in Jerusalem. 4 years prior, which was in 66 AD, 4 years prior to it, according to Josephus, who again was alive and saw these things happen himself, he noted in his writings that 4 years prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, there was a comet in the heavens, and that this comet remained in the heavens a full year. For 12 months, it remained over the entire temple. Now, Josephus also noted, this wasn't just the only sign prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Josephus also wrote that there was seen in the heavens what today we would call UFOs. These were fiery chariots. They were chariots of fire that was seen in the heavens and in the skies above Jerusalem. Now, again, today we would call these UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomena. So don't miss my point. We are literally seeing the repeat of these signs, these strange occurrences that are taking place. It's not a coincidence that the focal point is at the temple in Jerusalem, Jerusalem in itself. You've got solar eclipses. You've got comets appearing. Let's talk about that. We've been talking about solar eclipses. Let's talk about the comet. Why are we talking about comets, Brother Ricky? Because, again, it's not just going to be a solar eclipse that we're talking about. It's consequently in the same time frame that this solar eclipse is going to appear. Look at this. Guess what else is going to be appearing? And we've talked about this as well, but I'm going to refresh your memory. And for all of our new people, there is now what's going to be visible in the night sky, a devil comet. Of all the things they could call this thing, this comet is going to, it's said to have horns, and they've called it a devil comet. I want to read, this is from CNN, quote, an unusual horned comet, notable for a series of recent outbursts, will be visible in the night sky for the remainder of March. And astronomers expect the so-called Devil Comet to make a rare appearance during the total solar eclipse on April 8th. Are you kidding me, guys? So this devil comet will make a rare appearance during the solar eclipse on April 8th. Really? So how many great and fearful sights from heaven do you need? It's called a horned comet. It's called a devil comet. It's appearing during a major solar eclipse, and they're happening together. Officially known as Comet 12P Pons Brooks, the celestial object will make its closest pass of the sun on April 21st, coming within 74.4 million miles of our star. And by the way, that is going to be literally 24 hours before Passover on the Jewish calendar begins on April 22nd. Again, this thing will make its closest pass of the sun on April 21st, which is one day before Passover begins on the Jewish calendar. And by the way, this comet has the first time it was visible, look at this, was in 1812. Somebody say 1812. Why is that significant? Oh, it's very significant. Because let me tell you what happened between 1811 and 1812. There were some major events that took place involving America in 1811 and 1812. You know, America, where the trajectory of this is going to cross 13 states. And again, I told you this is a harbinger to America. So this comet was last visible 1812. Let me tell you what happened in 1811, 1812. Now, I don't want to go into great detail of this because we've already covered this. So to many of you guys who are regular followers and viewers and supporters of our ministry, you have heard this, but this is for all the new people. So I ask you to bear with this. And I'm going to give you the cliff notes of this. This same comet was believed to be the comet that historians have pointed out to be called the Great Comet of 1811. This comet was at its brightest on October 1811, which, by the way, was 2 months before a series of earthquakes transpired on the New Madrid fault line in America, by the way, where the X comes to the center point of the two trajectories of these solar eclipses. Again, this one coming up in April and the other one that was, what, 7 years ago? And they formed the X over America, and it's right down the New Madrid fault line. This same comet, this devil horn comet, again, historians are saying that this is the same comet that was visible in our atmosphere during the fall of 1811, going into 1812, and it was during December 16th, 1811 through March of 1812 is when there was a series of massive earthquakes that broke loose on the New Madrid fault line that became history. It caused the Mississippi to run backwards. It changed the geographical structure of a lot of the areas there that was impacted. Also in 1812, Y'all heard me talk about, why did I have you emphasize several times on this broadcast tonight? I talked about Civil War. I talked about how solar eclipses were visible during the death of leaders, and they were present during the initial stages of Civil War. Did you know that in in 1812, there was an event called the War of 1812. This war was fought by the United States of America and its indigenous allies against the United Kingdom and its own indigenous allies in British North America. With limited participation by Spain in Florida, it began when the U.S. declared war on the 18th of June of 1812. During this War of 1812, on August 24th, 1814, British troops invaded Washington, D.C. in response to an American attack on York, Ontario, in Canada. The British troops occupied the capital and set fire to many federal buildings, including the White House. What? Okay, stop. Are you kidding me? So here you have a solar eclipse, a deviled horn comet that was not seen since 1811, going into 1812, which so happened to be the same time frame that massive earthquakes blew open on the New Madrid fault line, which is the heartland right there, the center focal point of the United States of America. And when a civil war broke out, or a war broke out that America was directly involved in. Oh, and I'm sure it's just a coincidence, guys, that the new movie that's being released, that, by the way, was supposed to release at the end of April, is now being released in the same week of the eclipse, and it's called Civil War. Consequently, that's not all that's going to happen. There's more things that are going to transpire. If that was not enough, listen to this. During the Great American Eclipse on April 8th, not only is this Horn Comet going to be coming through the atmosphere, or coming through our solar system, coming into our neck of the woods, the sun, the moon, and seven other planets in our solar system will all line up in the sky and make an alignment. It is literally, guys, how many more signs do you need? You have seven planets aligning. You have a Horn Devil Comet. You have a solar eclipse taking place. It's almost like the entire solar system is screaming at its top of its lungs. Again, and I base that on Genesis chapter 1. He said these have been placed in as signs and seasons. Oh, and by the way, oh, there's more. In 3 days from now, today, as a recording of this, we're on March 22nd, a Friday. On the 25th, which I believe, what is that, Monday? There is going to be a blood moon. This is called a penumbral lunar eclipse. This will take place on Monday, March the 25th. It will be visible to the naked eye as 95.57% of the moon will be immersed in Earth's penumbral shadow. This blood moon will be fully visible from most of the Americas, will be seen rising over Australia and Eastern Asia, and the setting over western parts of Africa and Europe. Remember where I said in Genesis 1:14, God said these lights in the firmament will be for signs and seasons. Again, the word seasons here is modim, and it means festivals or appointed times. The blood moon coming Monday night, March 25th, will transpire during the season or the time frame of Purim on the Hebrew calendar. By the way, in case you didn't know, Purim is the commemoration of when Esther, by divine revelation of the Lord and wisdom, called her entire nation to fast, and she defeated Persia. By the way, that's modern day Iran, because they were set to annihilate her people, but God intervened through Esther's obedience. So thus they commemorate the festival again of Purim. And here we have a blood moon transpiring in 3 days during that same time frame. And look what's going on with the Middle East. Look at the rise of anti-Semitism. Again, guys, I don't know, as a watchman, I don't know how much more we can give you. How many more signs do you need? How much more evidence do you need? All right, now that was the majority of our message right here. Now for the next 15 minutes or so, I want to give you an update on these red heifers. According to the latest report, a massive altar has now been set up in the preparation for these red heifers and the sacrifice that's needed to initiate the third temple in Jerusalem. All right, let's watch this together. Check this out.
The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Caring for them on an Israeli settlement in the West Bank is Yitzhak Mamo.
So we have here, after a long research, we find in Texas.
In Texas?
Yeah, Texas, United States of America.
Texas Red Angus, flying them 7,000 miles to Israel.
This is not a publicity stunt.
Well, what do you mean?
Meaning, this is something you take very seriously.
Harry Potter is a good story. The Bible is not story. The Bible is a way of God to lead us.
A massive altar already awaits, where the heifers are to be burned.
Whoa, stop. I'm going to rewind this. Look at this. Check this out, guys.
To lead us.
Look at this. You're looking at. You guys listen by Apple, by Spotify. You got to come over here and look at this. This is the massive altar.
Massive altar already awaits.
Already awaits.
Where the heifers are to be burned.
Wow.
According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
The Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, among the holiest sites in Islam. Today, only Muslims are allowed inside, but that's not stopping Jewish activists outside.
Once you got, you started here.
6 days a week, Melissa Jane Kronfeld leads groups from around the world who defiantly pray, as close as armed guards permit.
It's not about the destruction of Islamic holy sites. It is about preserving this place and being guardians over the house of God for all people.
So you're happy with it where it is?
No, it's going to go 100%. But I believe
it's going to go.
It's 100%. Yeah, the whole thing is going to go. We have to build a temple.
When you say that Dome of the Rock has to go.
Whoa, I don't know how I feel about that. Don't know how that's going to happen. That's going to be very interesting. Again, we don't know the specifics, guys, of how this is going to happen. We just know according to Revelation 11, it will happen. So, but this lady's saying the Dome of the Rock's gonna go. And I just don't see that happening, because if that was to happen, you want to talk about all hell breaking loose. If they did that, I'm telling you, it would be World War III easily. That would definitely push us into World War III, because all Muslims worldwide, it would be very bad, guys. So I don't know how I feel about that.
MJ, it's hard for me to imagine something more incendiary.
Let me ask you something. The Middle East seems pretty destabilized right now. And the war, if I'm not mistaken, is already here.
To be clear, hers is a dream not shared by the Israeli government or by the vast majority of Israelis and Jews. But it's been enough to incite numerous Islamist groups. Hamas has dubbed its October 7 assault on Israel the Al-Aqsa Wave and has the Dome of the Rock on its emblem. But this is sacred ground to billions of Muslims globally, not just Hamas terrorists, stresses Imam Mustafa Abu Sway of Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Al-Aqsa Mosque belongs to all Muslims. So you'll find reaction from Indonesia to Toronto to New York. That's really given. Al-Aqsa.
See, that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm saying. If they go to try to destroy that mosque, it would not be good.
Mosque belongs to all Muslims, and the Muslims today are 2 billion people. 2 billion people.
Simply by performing these acts, are these Jewish activists kicking a hornet's nest?
They are. They are.
A hornet's nest they're kicking all the way to Capitol Hill.
So good to see you here in the nation's capital.
Those sacred cows were showcased in Washington at a recent prayer gathering. Many evangelicals believe these red heifers will usher Christ's second coming.
And we need the Messiah to come, right? So for me, the red heifer, it's red for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Back in the West Bank, Mamo says the ceremony could take place any day.
Whoa. The ceremony could take place any day.
But can you understand why Hamas could be outraged by something like this?
I cannot understand that even if they are right, why they have to slaughter and rape people to win their war.
Terrorists have been attacking us before we ever dreamed of these cows, he reflects. they don't need them as an excuse to kill.
Now, I want to point out, before we're getting ready to close this broadcast, but I want to point out that last month, in the month of February, All Israel News reported that the Temple Institute desires to conduct this sacrifice of these heifers before Passover of 2024. And I told you, again, according to, again, Passover is going to be, it's going to start at sundown on April 22nd and go to April 30th. Again, when? April 22nd. So, again, these, the Temple Institute wants to conduct this before Passover of 2024 or during it. I want to read this quote. There has been a lot of speculation on social media that a red heifer sacrifice could potentially take place on the 29th of March because the Sabbath of the red heifer begins at sundown that evening. Quote, Shabbat Porah for Hebrew year 5784 begins at sundown on Friday the 29th of March and ends at nightfall on Saturday the 30th. This corresponds to Parashat Tzav, I believe that's how you pronounce that, or the Sabbath, of the red heifer. This will all transpire before Passover. Numbers 19 is the reference, verses 1 through 22, wherein which the Jewish temple is part of the manner in which the Kohanim and the Jewish people purified themselves so that they would be ready or pure to sacrifice the Pesach. So the bottom line is, guys, they are actively preparing to present these heifers as a sacrifice to initiate. This has to transpire in Jerusalem, facing the Mount of Olives, to initiate the beginning initial stages of the creation of a third temple. Now, again, according to Revelation 11. Now, before we get to, I'm going to pull this up on the screen as your scripture reference here, but we know that there's a push for this, but how's this going to happen? Not so much the sacrifice, but I'm talking about the actual construction of this temple. We don't know. We can only speculate. How's it going to involve? How are the Muslims going to react? Here's what we do know according to scripture. Now, this is a future event, has not happened yet in our lifetime. John the Revelator saw in the book of Revelation chapter 11, wherein which there's a description given of a temple that has an altar, and there will be people there that will worship at this altar. There is given a measuring rod to measure this altar. And in verse 2, the instructions are given to leave out the court, which is outside of the temple, and not for it to be measured, because it will be given to the Gentiles to be trampled upon. Quote, and I'm reading this from the Bible, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Okay, stop. So could this be in reference to the rise of the final empire prophecy, which is the Antichrist? Now, I will remind you, many people, including myself, has greatly speculated that the Antichrist of the Bible will be Muslim. And if that's true, this all makes sense to me. Because such an event, if they were to try to carry this out, guys, there would be a reaction like this where, again, that temple would be trodden down by the Gentiles for 42 months. And it's interesting, it's 3.5 years, because that's the same time frame that Satan will enter into this temple in Jerusalem that will be, come on, built in the future. This will be his station headquarters, where in which he will set up his kingdom, where 10 nations, according to Revelation, will give their power over to him. He will seize control, seize power. According to Daniel, he will set up an abomination on the wing of the temple, work with the false prophet. He will set up a system of buying, selling, and trading, that where in which something has to be put in or on the right hand or in or on the forehead, and without it, you will not be able to buy, sell, and trade. The Bible says he will end all sacrifices. He will tempt to change laws and seasons. Why would he do that? Because again, if he is Muslim, then he will begin to implement Sharia law. He will not longer go by a solar eclipse, but he will go by a lunar eclipse. So guys, I'm just saying from a practical perspective, this all makes sense. But let me leave you again with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, it is time to look up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. Guys, again, help me to share this message. Get this information out. If you enjoy this content, please share it, like it, hit the bell notification. Again, do all that so you can get the word out. Download our free app available on Apple and Android devices. And again, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, all of the above, week after week, please pray about becoming a monthly partner, supporter. And listen, if this is your home church, whatever relationship is with our ministry, again, pray about becoming a partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right here on your left. That's the easiest way. Or you can give by the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Just click on that donate button. It's going to take you to a page. You can give by credit card. You can give by PayPal. You can give by Cash App or by Venmo. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to right there on your screen at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time out today to be a part of our broadcast. Listen, we're going to sign off for tonight on this week of this full week of podcasting. We plan on to be, we got a lot to cover next week. We've got some devotional messages for all of you guys that this is your home church. You're going to be blessed. And even if you're, if this is not your home church, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be equipped. And we've got some equipping messages. We've got some more talking points and viewpoints. We've got a full week next week already lined up. It's filling up quick. So we're excited. We can't wait to give you right back here in the studio on Monday of next week. Again, same time, same channel, same place, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, we pray that you guys have a great weekend. Be safe. Be blessed. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. And may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.